Morning, Counselor. How are you today?
I'm fine, Adam. And how are you?
I'm good. We originally invited you to come on and talk about the code of conduct debate, but one of your colleagues released this data last night. Is there anything you'd like to comment upon with it?
Well, we discussed it last night, Stephen Hammond and myself, but I think it's very important that we remember that what has been released, or what you now have and you've tweeted, which is this data chart, is very much related to the code of conduct discussion.
How so?
And I think people, how so?
Yeah.
I think what we have seen is a great attempt of silencing. Now, we have seen a reduction in people, general public, being able to even address counsel. We have seen that go through. And through the code of conduct, what we are seeing is, rather than having the staff do vetting and rather than have the integrity person or whatever organization is retained to look at that, look at things, that we are looking at the majority of council, the voting bloc, deciding that we're so far deciding it's not completed, that they want vetting to go through councillors, and that councillors get to choose even the sanction to be applied to a councillor if they break the code. So what I'm very concerned about is, at the beginning of our term, we saw frequently when an issue was raised by someone who was not in the voting block that we were silenced either through calling up the question or just being put down. And so this all relates, it all comes around in full circle, as in silencing the public, be it through withholding of data, which we saw in the last few months through this chart, being in the hands of some councillors, not others, or at the table. And I think that we have to look at all of this in a really big picture, because I'm not seeing that much change between this council and the last one.
What did it feel like when you finally got to see this data? Because you knew what was happening in Beacon Hill. You were one of the people that we talked to know that it had changed. What was it like when you finally saw the data and you see these sharp changes?
Well, I knew the changes, Adam, and so did you. We just didn't have the data.
Yeah.
So you might want to just, not you, but others have dismissed them as anecdotes. But I was involved with many of those anecdotes and knew it and saw it daily. And so it was great to have the data. It just meant that other people can no longer deny it. And even in your chart, you will see that Irving Park is far above Stadacona.
I was going to ask you about that. It's Beacon Hill Park, Muncie Place, Arbutus Shelter. Irving Park has a total, it's 2,000 calls throughout the pandemic. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th place out of the 19. And, of course, Irving Park is in James Bay. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, and that is, that reflects what I've been hearing, especially recently by the residents who live in Charter House, which is shares the fence line with where most of the tenters are now tenting overnight. And they get to hear it every night because their bedroom windows are on that property line or right next to it. And so it's been going on. It just hasn't received, I think, as much media attention. There was machete at one time. There was cars spinning around in the park. We've had all kinds of things happening in Irving Park. They just have not received perhaps quite the media attention as some of the other parks. But it's been there.
When we talk about where to go from here, the issue of displacement and concentration has come up. And I know that you and your colleagues have discussed it and debated it with the phased-out plan. Again, like we've already done this once, but again, we're going to try to phase out sheltering in these parks as we go forward. We see in the data very clearly that even when we clear out the parks and we open up an emergency shelter somewhere, the character of that neighborhood, like at 225 Russell Street, changes dramatically when we see that in the data. How do we address the issues of people suffering with the ill effects of crime and disorder in these neighborhoods right now without victimizing new people by moving these folks around?
This is where a lot of the onus has to be put on the provincial government. And what we've actually got, I think, at City Council in many of the proposals being made is that the city should take more and more of it and encourage growth of it in the middle of the city of Victoria and in the parks And I think that we need that change of mindset at City Council before we can get the city really on a forward path that will help the city. We are too tied into a political game right now, and that is quite worrisome.
I had cause to reflect, actually, it was last night, Mark, that I was remembering, you know, the conversations that we had in early 2021 when things were, you know, getting really bad in Beacon Hill Park. And I remember how helpless I felt. And I remember how helpless everybody seemed. And I think it's amazing that you are actually one of the powerful people at the council table now, and that you are in a position to have a voice that matters there and votes that count there. And I just wanted to say thank you for your bravery in those days when it was probably a lot harder, when you didn't have that power.
Well, I had never been on your show before that, and I became quite a regular person because I thought that someone had to stand up, which I did. Now, something, you've just raised something, and that is power on council.
Yeah.
The voting block of five has great power and power to silence.
Yeah.
And again, that goes back to the code of conduct where they want the power to actually control the access to it, rather than have it more independently done via staff. And in fact, at the council meeting a week ago, I really queried staff on how they would treat that. And I did that on purpose so that I would feel comfortable with staff being able to vet them and to vet any complaints that came in. And I felt very comfortable with that. I do not feel in the least bit comfortable with what's going on now. Now, something you've noticed, Adam, I believe.
Yeah.
People stop me in the street.
Yeah.
And they've noticed the put-downs that are directed to me at City Council and the slams. Mm. And I do my best not to take the bait and not to get distracted.
Good.
By that. And the reason being is I am privileged to serve the residents of Victoria, and I'm going to remain focused on safe streets, healthy neighborhoods, fiscal prudence, and transparency. I don't want to get sidetracked by these ad hominem assertions that I hear on council. So I'm going to continue to speak out against policies and decisions, which I think are not in the best interest of the city. Now, this will pit me very much against the five voting block on
yes.
council upon many occasions. But that doesn't matter to me, because what matters to me is I am here to represent people who I believe want to see changes at City Council and want them to have their rights protected.
You ever need a 10,000-watt megaphone, Mark Gardner, let me know.
Well, it's better if you call me, because we have so much on the block. There are so many things that are coming
yeah.
forward. And I have one other comment. I don't know
yeah.
how you slammed for me this morning.
I have all the time in the world for you, Mark. I remember when you and me were helpless and desperate. You're a city councilor now. I have all the time in the world for you.
Well, that's great. I think that when we look at the code of conduct, a lot of the complaints we heard from the voting bloc or reasons why they wanted to go to a particular direction was because they were worried about, what's that new term?
Rage farming. Well, it's like, you know, me and you, we both got accused of doing the same thing by talking about what was in Beacon Hill Park. It wasn't real then. It's not real now. It's just,
yeah,
it's rhetoric. It's insults. It's not intelligent.
Yes, I agree with you. But here's the thing. Social media creates passionate reactions, right?
Yeah.
And often inflammatory responses. So rather than shut down the public from the code of conduct access or from anything else, perhaps if the voting block of five withdrew from social media, that might be their answer.
Ban them from social media. I don't know. I think some of them might like that. I think some of them might like that. I'm not sure, but it's an interesting idea.
If they withdrew, no, just if they withdrew, I would never ban anyone.
No.
But if they actually withdrew themselves, then maybe they wouldn't be so upset about the comments they're getting on it.
You know, you are always logical, Mark Gardner, and you're always a welcome voice on this program. Counselor, I thank you for your time as always.
And thank you, Adam.
All right. You have a good day. Take care.